Scripture reading for today is 2 Timothy 4, verses 5 through 11. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfilling your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not only me, not to me only, but also to who have loved his appearing. Be diligent, come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica. Cesarens for Galatia, Titus for Dalma. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for ministry.
I'd like to express my appreciation for those visiting with us. We have several in our audience. We want you to know that you're our honored guests. As was noted by Dennis, I'm going to have a shortened lesson this morning in order to accommodate after our services an informational meeting that the elders want to present to the congregation. But by shortening it, I don't mean that we want to overlook the pertinent facts and the important, relevant information we find in God's Word. We started this year by noting the theme that we wanted to kind of look at and consider having to do with Make Me a Servant. And you know, some of the songs that our brother Cowboy led had to do with that idea of serving. We've considered some individuals who are excellent examples of proper service, both serving those around about, serving the Lord, being diligent in that effort. This morning I want to consider just for a few moments an individual who failed in that respect. Demas, failure in service. There's an interesting thing associated with this, and of course as you notice there in these verses, that we find here that he was commended in a couple of occasions. In a couple of the letters that Paul wrote, there was this commending of him as it related to certain things associated with his activities. He accompanied Paul as a fellow laborer. In Colossians 4:14, Philemon 1:24, he's referred to in the Colossian letter as one who greeted along with others as the Apostle Paul wrote to these brethren in Colossae. And then Philemon, who was an individual who was written to, as he involved a personal letter that Paul was writing on behalf of Onesimus, who was a slave who had fled from being under the mastery there of Philemon. He sent back, as now he has become a child of God through the teaching and preaching, having been obedient to that gospel as Paul presented it, and he's being sent back. And in both of these instances, in Philemon 1:24, you have Demas being referred to there as a fellow laborer. That's very commendable, isn't it? It's something that stands out as somebody, an individual who we can look to and think about as one being mentioned and referred to in a letter by the Apostle Paul to greet along with these others who are faithful in their service and their conduct and behavior, to even be identified in a personal letter that is set forth there as one who was busily active in the vineyard of the Lord. He was a fellow laborer. So I just take note of that. There's only three mentions of Demas, and two of them are positive. Two of them express something that would be very commendable in regard to his conduct and behavior. Then we find that he was condemned, though. And the condemnation associated with what we find in 2 Timothy 4:10. Forsaken Paul, having loved this present world. That capsulizes the situation as it's described there and the circumstances as it unfolds. I want to take note just for a moment something about this situation and the time factor associated with this. We find at the end of the book of Acts that the Apostle Paul is under house arrest in Rome. He writes four letters, two of those letters being Colossians and Philemon. And so this would put us in the time frame around 62-63 A.D. In 2 Timothy 4, and we look at some information that would tell us that Paul was released from that imprisonment at that point in time. He was able to go about and continue preaching for a period. There's some information that we have and glean from what we read in, as it relates to the various things transpiring at that point in time. And we see then that he's as we find and consider in 2 Timothy 4, he's once again under arrest. Now he's imprisoned. And so there's a period of time that has passed from the writings that Paul did there. And the first point of writing these prison epistles, as they're often referred to, while he's under a house arrest in Rome, where Demas is referred to, and then the second imprisonment, in which Paul sees himself as very shortly about to his physical life come to an end. He's about to die for the cause of Christ. And in the context of this, he's making reference to various individuals, where they're at, things going on with them. Demas is mentioned in this negative light, in this way in which he's referred to as having forsaken Paul, because he loved this present world. And we find that this would have been approximately a period there in which it would have been around 68 A.D., in which we see this occurring based upon some information that we have and the time frame. It would seem to kind of fit into these this period and circumstances associated with it. So just a few years had passed. As we see taking place and occurring, just a few years from the time of being commended to the time in which he now had forsaken Paul. And the reason and circumstances behind that forsaking Paul is because he loved this present world. We'll talk momentarily a little bit about it. And here's the underlying problem. He quit faithfully serving. He just quit. He just gave up. He just stopped. He just determined, decided that, well, he wasn't going to pursue this any longer. He forsook Paul, and as forsaking Paul, he forsook the Lord. And so we kind of scratch our heads and say, why would somebody quit? Why would somebody just stop? Here, they've been commended. They obviously have been heavily involved. They've been with Paul for a period of time. They've been accompanying him. They've been active, so much so that they could even be referred to, again, in a very commendable fashion of having been a fellow laborer. Not just one hanging around, but one that was busily engaged in doing the matters pertaining to the proclamation of the gospel and the service that was rendered in regard to those things. And yet, we come to this point and he just quit. It's a sad situation. A terrible way to be described. Can you fathom somebody writing, and here we have the record as it's set forth, and we here, these almost 2,000 years later, are reading about this individual Demas, and he forsook Paul, as a consequence, he forsook the Lord. He loved the present world. He decided, I'm not going to do this any longer. And so we are left to wonder why. Well, he says he loved this present world, and so we begin to kind of consider that. What does that imply or entail? Several things that might be related to that, or something that gives us an insight as to what might have. The bottom line is he quit serving, he quit doing what was right. And we might, in the perspective of our Lord, when Jesus was preaching and teaching and the parables he set forth, and he talked about, that you find over Matthew chapter 13. He gives the parable in the 3rd through the 9th verses. And as these parables, which are talk about everyday activities and what describes something that people can, but they're parables because there's a spiritual teaching that's laid alongside of it. There's some information that people to see what's being described or talked about. We learn something from the standpoint of spiritual matters in our lives and be helpful to us in understanding these things. Now, many of those present didn't understand the parables. They didn't know what this was describing. But they also weren't seeking forth to find that out. They weren't really actively engaged in trying to understand it. But the disciples of the Lord wanted to know. He explained why he taught them to prophecy to describe these things, and that they had a hearing, did not hear, see, they did not understand, they did not comprehend. Again, they were dull of hearing. The problem still was with them. Now the disciples come and they say, explain to us what this parable means. Because they desired to know, they wanted to know that spiritual instruction, they sought it out. So Jesus gave the explanation. And I think we can see in the parable of the sower insights into what is understood as it relates to Demas. And I want to look with you, beginning at verse 18. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. Now, this is not Demas. This is not took to heart the things that were said, took it into his mind and was obedient to the teaching and the proclamation. The seed is the word of grounds of the various ones that hear. As that seed is sown, it comes to these various grounds. And so there's no taking that seed in, no taking the word into one's mind, into one's heart. And so there's not going to be anything done with it. It's snatched away. So it has no opportunity to go in, take root, to produce a plant, to help and produce anything from that plant. And but that's not Demas. Demas certainly was one, plan of salvation upon hearing the word. He was then of a disposition to repent of his past sins by the Son of God, having that change of life, confessing him before men, and then humbly submitting in baptism for the remission of his sins. And then he's involved because he's a fellow laborer. He's accompanying Paul. He's busily involved in serving in this way, in this capacity, teaching and instruction in his life. So we know that first one is not the ground that is under consideration. But there's a couple of other grounds that follow that we see here, either one of which could represent us. There's another ground. The fourth ground is one in which we need to be, and Demas failed to ultimately accomplish. And so let's look at those grounds a little bit additionally then. So having expressly set forth here about this one snatching away, verse 20, but he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word, receives it with joy. I submit to you, Demas would fit that category. Yet he has no root of himself, but endures only for a while. Persecution rises because of the word. Immediately he stumbles. Now let's pause here for a moment. What's taking place? Well, Paul has been apprehended again, taken into custody again. Probably during the days of Nero, that's how we kind of fit into this context of this period of time and these several years that have passed. And now Paul is about to die for the cause of Christ. He has a very short, limited time lows, and so he's writing this letter to Timothy and exhorting him and encouraging him in continued faithfulness of pursuit of those evangelistic activities and responsibilities he has. And so he's setting this forth. And so here he is, and this may be that this applies with Demas. Demas says, you know, if I continue to stay here in this situation, this persecution that has befallen Paul, I might be apprehended. I might die with Paul, and I'm not ready to die physically. And comes. And when we're put to the test, we fail the test. We don't stand up for what is right. It comes to denouncing Christ and living. We choose to denounce to live, as opposed to say, I'm a child of God, I'm a Christian, and the consequences of that, one's put to death, the persecution. One, and the accounts as we go through Acts and then the various epistles and descriptions of things, of how persecution came upon them in various forms and differing ways. They were in prison, they were beaten, they had their properties confiscated and taken from them. Their livelihood was taken from them. Some of them were exiled in various ways, such as John on the island. And they were those that were taken and put to death in very terrible, awful ways. And related to because they chose to serve the Lord, remain faithful unto death, and you shall receive that crown of righteousness. That very point would be what Revelation 2:10 is referring to. So Demas may have been at that point, and now his life is in jeopardy. Even though he's seen these other matters, and when it came time, he decided, you know, I love this present world too much. I'm not ready. And we think about ourselves, consider our own situation and circumstances. You know, how many of us have been faced with that kind of persecution? I certainly haven't. I freely acknowledge. I've had a door slammed in my face on a couple of occasions. I've had people pretty mad at me. I've had people that probably wanted to punch me in the nose. In fact, I know that's the case. They didn't. So I'm thankful that didn't occur. Because when you're in your teaching instructions and the application of these things, people get. But you know, I've never been imprisoned. Livelihood taken from me. My property confiscated. I haven't been forced to watch family members die. Life obviously taken. I haven't endured any of those things. Have you? Anything remotely connected to something of that nature. Have we ever really experienced something of that description. There are brethren around the world that kinds of matters in circumstances and situations, their own life in peril. Well, how do we know we're going to measure up to that test? And the answer is we don't. We prepare ourselves. You have to be prepared to do it. But let me, this observation before, but I think it's worth noting additionally and again in this context. If we cannot be faithful, doing the things we need to be doing, serving the Lord as we ought to be serving, accomplishing the things in our lives that should be done because it's inconvenient, because it puts us out a little bit, because we have to do something a little extra, how do we think we're going to stand for what's right if true, genuine persecution comes upon us? And you know, if we're not going to even do the things we should be doing when we're Christians that are very comfortable and straightforward, and it just requires a little bit more and a little more challenging and certainly doesn't measure up to any kind of persecution, how do we expect to stand when the time comes and we may have to confront Jesus to live for the Lord? Demas, perhaps what that expression means, he loved this, time came, he chose physical life rather than continuing serving the Lord. Another possibility, as we look at this additionally, is also found in context. After looking at that one having to deal with persecution and tribulation in verse 22, now he who received the seed, he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. Now here's this other ground. Again, the word found a ground that was receptive. It took it in, that you start seeing faithfulness, other aspects associated with this. It looks good, it comes up. He describes then these various thorns and thistles that arise around it and chokes it out. And he says the understanding of the parable and what the application is from a spiritual perspective is, he says it's the deceitfulness of riches. We become so enamored with this world, the things of this world, the things that pertain to this world, that we lose our perspective and we don't put the Lord first in our lives and these material things precedent. That's what he's saying. That these other things just become more important to us. On the fringe and you're going to go along with some things, but when it comes down to it, our choice is still with the things of this world rather than the spiritual, to do with not just things pertaining to our activities associated with this life, but to the life that is to come. And so this world becomes our home. Rather than just passing through, we're trying to hold on to it. When he loved this present world, that may have been what's described there. He got to the point where he started looking and saying, you know, there's other things I want to be doing. There's other things that aspects associated. He lost his perspective and went and started doing the things that were more enticing to him from taking the things of this life, which is temporary. Short-lived. No matter how much you get out of this life, it's only going to last for a short period of time. And so whatever we put into it, it's going to be someone else's. We're not going to take it with us. And where our hearts are, that's where our treasure is. That's where our hearts will be. And if we have our treasures in this life and in this world and things we're seeking, and that takes precedent over everything can strive for, and if we don't put our treasures in heaven, we're not going to be following that and hearing to that and wanting to make that our eternal abode. And we can just, you know, Satan doesn't have to have us bow down to worship him for us to be a servant of Satan. Do is keep us from serving the Lord, and we fall into his camp, and that's all he cares about. And we have a lot of things. Being affluent, and we're very blessed in this life, there's a danger associated with that we allow that to be where we have confidence in our pursuits, rather than putting the Lord first above everything and everyone. And maybe that was Demas' problem. Maybe that was the expression, love this present world, had to do with this focus upon this life and the things of this life, to your well-being. Of course, the last ground, and this is the ground that Demas failed to ultimately accomplish, Timothy, the 4th chapter, in verse 10. And what we need to be watchful for, condemnation of falling short, but he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it. There's fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Producing fruit. Being spiritual. Doing the things. Luke chapter 14, verse 27 through 33. One of the things that I learned as I've gotten through the years and when I was a young preacher, very desirous, of course, teaching and telling people what they need to do to be saved, which is, I still feel that I'm in any way minimizing that. But there was something I overlooked, and kind of by experience learned it, that you start teaching people and you can get them baptized, but if they don't understand about counting the cost. Now, the privilege far exceeds anything that one has to give up and sacrifice. But you still have to have people understand that this requires repentance involves, does it not, a change of life. And if one's going to repent, they're going to come under the Christ in their life. They're going to let him be their master and ruler. And that means that things have to be different. And as a young preacher, I had a couple, and it was a good study at the time, put the information to the team that was there, and they were baptized, and they were happy and joyous, and I never saw them again. What happened to them? And it kind of perplexed me, and I reevaluated what went wrong here. Well, okay, now, as a Christian, this means this is what you need to be doing. Count the cost. This means that you need to be at the, you know, worship services. This means that you're serving the Lord. This is what's going to be entailed in this. That there's a change of life that's involved in this. Now, it's a learning experience. There's things that go along, and these changes are going to take place over time, but there's some fundamental things that you need to be appreciative of. And it's the Lord's church, and you're in kingdom, and the nature of his kingdom, and what's required of that. There's some just basic things that people need to understand, and that's what the Lord meant when you have a knowledge of these things. He didn't want people to come in naively. Didn't understand what was intended. He wanted people who were committed, convinced of what the rightness of this was, so that they would to the end. So the problem, he quit. Now, I want to do something here for brevity's sake. You know, so I'm reducing this thing and trying to be a little briefer. And I came across, rather than expound on this, I thought this was a very good capsulization of what the point is. In order to kind of draw it together, kind of think about these things together. And so in looking at some material, there's a particular writing I came across, and I took this writing. I'll give it to the individual who wrote this momentarily. But just follow along with me. And like I said, it sort of condenses it. It sort of gives us an idea, and this idea of Demas and things pertaining to Demas. But Demas had not merely left. He had forsaken Paul. And he had, in the course, forsaken Paul, but the Lord also. He had forsaken the church, which needed so desperately then, as it does now, able workers to share their talents, encouraging the redeemed. He had forsaken the fellowship of saintly men and women. He had forsaken worship activities. His voice was not hymns of praise, nor was his heart joined in the prayers of the people of God. He had forsaken the blood of Jesus from his sins, and he returned to wallow in the mire of the world, 2 Peter 2:22. He had forsaken the promise and prospect of heaven. I wonder now, looking back from his present perspective in eternity, if he thinks his grand transaction such a bargain as he did then. Kind of his home, doesn't it? Like I said, it capitalizes it pretty nicely. You collaborate upon it, but doesn't that do this? This is from Brother Dan King. He wrote this in February 6, 1997 in The Guardian of Truth. So rather than just elaborate on that, let's just hone in on some things. Doesn't that not give us the essence of what it means to be a servant of the Lord and what we, when we quit? And, you know, typically just all of a sudden abruptly quit. It may happen. It does occur. I don't know Demas's, how he went to get to where he was. It may have been something that was pretty abrupt, but typically that's not the way we would think about it, is it? It's a gradual thing in people's lives. And we start losing perspective. The things that are spiritual aren't as important. We just don't attend as involved as we ought to be. We don't seek ways and opportunities to be of service in the Lord's kingdom to each other, to the people around about us. And we just sort of drift away. And all of a sudden, we're not there. We quit for time. But if we're not interested in worshiping the Lord, there's a problem. If we're not in the Lord and serving our fellow man, there is a problem that already exists. There's something wrong with our attitude and our disposition of heart. Are we failing to serve? We make me a servant, the servant song, right? We sing. What do? When we sing, we praise God, and we're what? One another. See, the teaching, the preaching that's done within our assembly is in several respects, various ways. The proclamation of the gospel that we're doing now, We have our Bible classes where the teaching is going on in order to be able to address some things in ways that help those at various levels of understanding and comprehension. But we teach as in our worship because these are entailed in some of the things that the Lord has made and arranged for us to do, including our singing. Did we mean it? Is that genuinely when we're saying it with the right attitude and proper understanding? We sing with the understanding. We sing with the Spirit, with the understanding. Do we mean it? We're going to have the song of encouragement. We do have an opportunity for any present. We always have time to do whatever is necessary to get one right with the Lord because of that. Whatever time it takes to accomplish that, we'll spend the time for that. Because we want to make heaven our eternal abode. And if you're in need of the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in any way, if His invitation to His call, either be baptized for the remission of your sins, if you've yet to do that, of the age of accountability, or having done that, there's something in your life, there's sin in your life, you need to publicly acknowledge that, you want to repent of that, and you want the prayers of the congregation, the help, the assistance, if you desire to express that we can be of help and assistance to, we stand ready and willing and desirous of helping you. If you're subject to His call, won't you please come as together we stand and sing.